You're listening to the Bombad Generals.
General? Oh.
Breaking news! The Shadow Collective swoops to victory in the 2024 Legion World Championship. The Black Sun is out and it's raining dice. It's crits galore. It's mayhem out there. The swoops are overrunning people. The buses are getting everywhere. And the Black Suns just won't die. Now we go to our top correspondents in the field, Matt Bronson and Seth Roach, also known as the Bombad Generals. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bombad Generals. It is Seth. I'm here with Matt.
Hello, hello.
And this is post-Worlds Adepticon 2024. How are we feeling, Matt?
Not as tired as I thought I would be.
Exactly.
I would say. Yeah. So, pretty good, all things considered. I think the low is always on the day you get kicked out. That's when you have the existential crisis. You question everything. At least for me, because I'm a very competitive guy. To a fault in some cases. So, like, I take the losses hard. But
yeah,
you sit there, you bounce back, you get some food in your stomach, you drink some water.
Realize our identity is not in this game. But
yeah,
I mean, we still want to win. But like,
exactly. You go, you just play some casual games. You find that love again.
Yeah.
You know, so you fall out of love with the game for maybe 30 minutes and then you're right back at it.
Like, this is the worst game in the
world. Yeah, and then, you know, tonight we're eating dinner and we're theory crafting lists.
Yeah, man.
You know.
It's looking pretty good. So,
yeah,
for what's ahead, I'm excited. So it's good.
Yeah, so maybe we'll just say off the top, you know, there were lots of spoilers that were revealed at Adepticon, and we were there. We got to go again in person. It's awesome being there in person.
It's really cool.
Like the energy in the room and all that. A lot of stuff other than range troopers, we got everything. So you could start proxying and testing those out today. And we might do a couple of those games in the future. Maybe keep an eye out for that. Maybe we'll record it. Maybe not. Whatever. No promises. But, you know, we saw a bit more about like Clone Commandos, Bad Batch, all of that. But so much depends on cards that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
That we're just going to make the decision to give it some time. Come back to it a bit later, maybe when we've seen more information or in the case of Range Troopers, you know, had a chance to put it on the table and really get a feel for it. So we're not going to talk about that as much today. More so kind of talk about Adepticon.
The tournament as a whole, just like the tournament, Worlds,
and
our takeaways. And
do we want to go in chronological order?
Let's do that.
I think that's a good way to do it.
That's a do it. So
it started with, I'd start with Swiss, honestly.
Yeah, so Swiss on Thursday. For me, that was pretty much my only practice for Worlds. So
yeah,
I went in and was like, I need to do good. And I felt pretty good. What? We won't go into detail about all the details of nitty gritty of the games, but like I went 2-1. It's a 4-day event. I didn't want to overdo myself. So I didn't like a 4-game event that day. And I just played 3 games, played Michael Berry, one of them. He beat me.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of pod, Bombad. He's a corporal.
Bombad corporal.
Yeah. We need to have him back on also. But yeah, no, went 2-1. So I was like, man, feeling pretty good into Worlds. How about you for Swiss?
Yeah. So I guess first of all, so for me, I think Swiss was very useful.
Yeah.
Like you, I wasn't able to get as much practice as I may have in other circumstances. And especially too, like it's one thing to like practice a list, but also practicing that list in person can be a different experience. And that's just not something I have available now due to the move and not having a local community. So I find that very handy. And honestly, I hadn't played Dark Troopers since the nerfs.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, I had never practiced my Legion Worlds list. And that's not something we advise at all in the show. We say get lots of reps. But again,
get lots of reps.
I played so much Dark Troopers before, like, and you've played your list a lot before.
Yes.
We both had lots of experience, just not necessarily recent experience. And we were using the Swiss as a kind of get back
in the rhythm and stuff.
Yeah, get back in the rhythm.
Which we should talk about the list because you were running double darks.
I was running double darks, Boba,
and
you were running
Yoda Chewie. Like,
yeah,
no,
basically our list from last year.
Yeah, basically
yours basically didn't change. Mine,
yeah,
lost an activation, but doesn't really matter. Everyone's kind of the I was 10x when the world was kind of in a 10-act world, and I was 9x when we're kind of in a 9-act world, is how I would say it from a year to now. But yeah, I thought it was really awesome to have that tournament. I don't think there's been necessarily something like that
previously.
So that is something I would hope to see again.
Yeah.
And if I was to, you know, if it was to be a thing next year and I was to come again next year, I would probably try to do the same thing. Even if I had more practice, I think just kind of starting the weekend off with some games that have lower stakes.
Yeah.
Is really good.
I agree.
For me, I got to play my first two games were against an Anakin list with like In that one, it was an Anakin list with like saber throw, RPSs, triple flutters. So lots of piercing impact.
Lots of tech against Darth.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I walk up to the table. I'm like, oh, no, this is terrible. But I get to eventually win that game, get some confidence up.
Yeah.
The next one was against Tempest, which I hadn't gotten to play against with triple darks and is a bad matchup.
Was it a triple ATST?
Triple ATST Tempest. Yeah. Won that. Like, so win or lose, it doesn't matter as much. In my case, getting the wins was nice because it gave me some confidence going into the next day. But, you know, if you take it, you lose, then it can also give you learning experiences going into the next day. So I think whatever happens, like as long as you, you know, go out with a growth mindset, it can be really effective. So, yeah, positive reviews from the Swiss all around, I would say. And then Worlds happened as well. So you can kind of talk through. I don't know if we want to split up day one, day two.
Well, I guess yours was a lot longer than mine.
Not much longer, but yes.
Yeah. So day one, I'll just start off with mine. So this is what I was not prepared for. The matchups were not in my favor. I did not want to face an aggressive list. I wanted to face a objective list or like a gunline list, but not like an aggro in my face list.
Yeah.
And that's what I got pulled. It was a bus, Black Suns with bikes and boss.
Good list.
It was a good list.
You might hear talk again about similar things later.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good list and it was playing hostage and just, it came down to just a few dice rolls there at the end of the game where Yoda pretty much was the only one alive on my end and just did not go in my favor. And that was it. It was very close.
Yeah.
Very good game. But
would you say generally that your list is something where you kind of want to make the game short in a sense because you don't want a long war of attrition.
Yeah.
You want to make the game short in the sense of like, you know, run and hide. You can't run and hide for 6 turns.
Yeah.
Right? You can run and hide and do crazy jank for a few turns and pull out a win. But when it's an aggro list, they come at you so hard and so fast that if you have to go into that mode right away, you just can't do it long enough.
That's true. Because you have to start making, like, you want to start making Yoda plays probably like turn 3, 4.
Exactly.
And it's like, I have to start making Yoda plays like turn 1. Because of that. And it's like, it just like, honestly, it was a headache. And I think not being out of rhythm and practice with like a Yoda list, which is like a big brain list. You heard it here first.
Seth's brain too small.
Too small for this. I did not flex. I did not work out the Legion muscles for this tournament.
Size does matter sometimes when we're talking about Yoda.
Yes.
See, there you go. I pulled it back. It's as I say, classy gentleman.
That started off, I was like, 0-1, and then I'm really kind of frustrated with myself, and then I was like, you know what? There's still a chance I can make it in. Because
The format, we knew they were probably going to, we'll get to this momentarily probably, but there was chances for 3-1s. It's very tough with SOS as the first tiebreaker if you lose your first game to do so, but you kept trucking, but
I tried.
Ran into some more aggressive lists.
Yeah, I ran into a Wookiee list and
kind of similar, very tight. Both of these games were very tight.
But which I thought I did really well against the aggressive, but it was just like, I wanted a bigger gap of like,
for sure,
my win condition.
It's not like you got a bad matchup and got blown off the table.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So I think you can still be proud. I think there's a lot of very, very strong players. Yeah. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to like call people out as like, this player didn't make it to day two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of very strong players who didn't make it to day two, who lost like round one.
Yeah.
We were sitting looking at it. It was like, oh man, that person's out. That person's round two. Same thing. So no shame.
No shame in any of that. Yeah.
If
you lose round one, maybe this is not me saying this because you lost round one. That does not define your skill as a Legion player. I don't think if you lose round one, whether you lose round four, you're like a worse player off.
Yeah. Like, honestly, you can... It sounds like excuses, but you can, sometimes it's like you lost the first round, but that doesn't mean you, whether you, yeah, as you said perfectly, I don't know why I'm trying to say
no,
it again.
Yeah.
You lose round one and then win 6 straight. versus you win six straight and then lose a game. Yeah. Like, sometimes it just depends.
I mean, we go back to last year, like Luke Cook lost his first round.
That's true.
Worlds, you know, yep. But that didn't define him as a player.
No, exactly.
His skill is just,
and it was just a different format. So he was able to recover from that and all of that. And this year, the format was slightly different. So you didn't have that opportunity to lose first round and make it through. And that's just simply the way it is. Do we talk about draws now? Do we talk about clocks first?
Yeah.
We'll talk about clocks.
Well, because clocks actually affected my third game, which was...
Yes.
Because I went 1-1, I was 0-1, and then won the next one, 1-1, and then I played the next one, which was more of an aggro list. And then...
So we avoided... So just for context, I guess, before... I feel a rant coming on.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe I should give some context. Usually I'm the ranter. But we didn't really talk about the clock rules before. I think
we
talked to death. But we gave it a chance. We played an event, and I think we both have one. We'll just focus on one takeaway thought.
So,
but they rolled for extra time on the clocks. That's something. But they wouldn't even say.
I didn't even know if they did roll. You know, they didn't tell me. Yeah, so.
But they wouldn't even say when the timer started. So it wasn't like, hey, the timer starts now. You have whatever 2.5 hours plus.
Yes.
Who knows what?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. It was just. You don't know when the timer
only,
starts.
The only announcement they made for the round was not like round one begin or something. It was like pairings are up. That's
and,
it.
And usually in a tournament, you have pairings and then they give some time to go find your table, find your opponent, do a little bit of turn zero before the timer starts. So the error there can be quite large.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to gauge. Okay, so now go so for
players,
it. Unleash.
So players like announced like, okay, you hear pairings, like round one pairings, or like round X pairings are up. Okay, you start at 2.5 tire, like 2.5?
2.5.
Yeah.
Was probably, I think,
the thing timer. You start it, like, yeah. maybe wait 5 minutes or something and you start it. You're like, okay, that's my time that I got to go off. Like, I'm
trying to be conservative because you want to be you'd rather be a little too fast than a little too slow.
Yeah. Starting a little late, you know, and everything. And I'm like, judges are walking by and I'm asking like, hey, can you tell me the time? And they're like, no, we can't. Like, they won't even tell you the time. So I'm like, so it's kind of a headache where like Yoda, it's like, especially for the game I lost, I was like, I need this to go to turn six for me to win. Mm-hmm. Like if it doesn't go to turn six, I will not win. And I'm playing and I'm like, man, I comment and I'm like, I think it's turn four and I comment and I'm like, man, I wish I knew the time. And someone who was spectating our game was like, oh, I set a timer. This is how much time you have left, which is like 10, 15 minutes. And I was like, holy cow, I need to get this game going because again, I need to go to turn six. So then that just like changed my whole decision tree. And maybe he shouldn't have commented that like, this is how much time it was and I should have just kept going.
Yeah, or maybe you add 15 minutes on.
But then again,
you don't know.
It's like,
for sure.
It's like, in a tournament of worlds, like I should know how much time is left.
Yeah. You know? And it's not like you're sitting here slow playing, right?
No,
it's,
I'm not.
You always have that urgency to finish.
Exactly.
But when you knowing the time gives a certain security of like, okay, I have a moment where I can breathe.
Yeah.
And that's actually chess clocks are a very contentious thing. whenever like maybe Legion, I think the community is a bit more behind them than in some other games, but the thing is, one of the great things about chess clocks is that it actually, it forces you to play fast, but it also actually allows you to breathe. Because you can say, as someone who played a different game on a chess clock a while back, who was actually using quite a bit of time, it's, despite being a fast player, usually, I would say it's because, hey, I'm in a difficult situation. This is my time. I can take a couple minutes and really think this through.
Yeah.
Right? And chess clocks or no chess clocks, knowing the time, it's a similar situation.
Yeah.
I know, okay, hey, I got to do my duty to make sure this game goes to turn six. And there's tons of time left, so I can take a moment and I can think for this very important decision versus I have no time that's left. I've got to rush, putting all the pressure on yourself to like really go, and then making a mistake or, you know, maybe something a little suboptimal because of it, which may or may not influence the end of the game. You never know.
Exactly. And maybe in that scenario of that whole game, I think just hearing that time just like made me not take a breath and be like, oh, I got to get going. Mm-hmm. And it maybe, I don't know, like looking back, I don't know what else I could have done, but I don't know. I didn't take the time to like think.
Exactly.
Through.
So it's you know, like, maybe you didn't make a mistake. Maybe you played everything perfectly. You
know? And it's like, yeah. Okay, the dice, I got a little bit boned by dice, but doesn't everyone on some games, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my experience with clocks. And that was like, that was the situation where it actually mainly came up with, but still not knowing the rest of the time, like for the whole tournament was not ideal.
Yeah. I'd say for me, if you're done,
I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel like there's not much more to be said. For my side, I had kind of a different perspective. Darks, playing Dark Troopers, it's a situation of whatever happens, the game's over quick. Either the Dark Troopers all die very, very suddenly and very harshly, and I can't do anything and explode, or I blow everything they have up and the game's over, right? It's whatever, turn three concession usually. That's just how they is. Win or lose, darks happen fast. And the problem I ran into is they won't tell you the time, so they won't tell you when the next round starts. So if I want to go get food, go to the vendor hall, you're behind schedule, so you can't even go by the packet, you know. If you want to actually go out and do anything, you don't know, hey, I have to be back by 11 o'clock,
because
11:30.
Worlds, at least for day one, they did start an hour late.
It was super late. Yeah, that was annoying.
Which then threw up. You couldn't follow the packet.
You couldn't follow the packet, and the only time you know is when they say, hey, don't start a new round. Then you know there's 15 minutes left, and then you know maybe you'd like 15 minutes after hard dice down, maybe less until pairings for the next round. But by then, like, if you know, hey, there's 15 minutes left in the round and maybe like 20 to 30, that's not necessarily enough time to like, that's not the time you want to be like trying to go quickly to the vendor hall. You want to go earlier, come back with time left and time to spare. So I found that very annoying. We gave it a shot. We refrained previously, but figured everyone wants to hear our opinion, right?
Sure.
You know, it's very
important.
Or
this is just our place for vent. And so,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yes. Right. I do hope. I don't blame the judges because they just followed the Galactic Conquest rules, which was
It's a higher up decision.
It's a higher up decision. It's above our pay grade, but I hope the whole Galactic Conquest rules, specifically for clocks, get remedy.
Okay, well, so now we're talking about Galactic Conquest rules that are usually overlooked.
Yes.
The other one that played a huge part in the weekend was intentional draws.
Yes.
Especially while we're talking about day one.
Yes.
Where a lot of players who went 3-0, because it was a four-round day, a lot of the players who went 3-0 just walked up and drew at the start. They just said, hey, we're going to draw.
They shook hands, be like, see you tomorrow.
Essentially, because, you know, at 256, you only need three rounds, and then you get 32 3-0s, and you're good.
Yeah.
We had only, like, a little bit above 256, so that adds a whole new round, but that meant if everyone actually played their games, you would have about 17 undefeateds and about 15 3-1s getting to day two. So then a lot of players looked at that and said, well, 3-0-1, you know, three wins in a tie is better than three wins in a loss. So instead of me beating you or whatnot, we'll just draw, which is perfectly legal within the rules.
Yeah.
But it feels icky. I don't like it.
I don't like it. I don't blame the players for doing it.
Yeah. But also, I'm happy that there were consequences in the end.
There was consequences.
Because there was a player who went 3-0 on Saturday and didn't make top four.
Yep.
Because they drew. Mm-hmm. They won. And maybe I'm an asshole for saying it, but like, I'm just happy there were consequences because it feels bad to just not play the games.
Yeah.
And it gives false hope. Like it just messes up the format completely.
It does.
Because, you know, now anyone who had a loss at any point
gets booted out.
You had In this circumstance, there was the best you could do was sixth place.
Because the expectation was there is four games. So the expectation is to play all four games. So if you lose one, like you lose your round one, you could like, okay, I have three rounds to potentially come back. And yeah. like having those draws just like boots all those players out.
It boots all those players out. There was maybe the tiniest chance, who knows, but because of how the numbers worked out,
yeah,
there were essentially just like 10 or so just dead men walking in the round of 32 on Saturday. Players who got in to the top 32 with 3-1 who never had a chance.
Yeah.
Like they're the best they could end up doing was sixth. And to me, it just feels a lot better if this is how many rounds we're going to have, that we get 2 7-0s and then 2 6-1s, because then you can have a loss at some point and yep. you still have something to play for.
I agree.
And you don't have this false hope. So that was my beef with it. It's also a very weird, it's like, I think what it's called is like a tragedy of the commons situation of like, it's the more people who do it, the worse it becomes.
Yeah.
Because the more people who intentional draw, like, you know, there were 34 undefeated players after three rounds. Mm-hmm. If literally all of those guys in the 17, if all those players in the 17 games decide to draw, then two people don't even make top 32.
Exactly.
If only one decide to draw, then, you know, things are,
yeah,
they can still lose a game the next day and make top 4,
mm-hmm.
probably, because then it's like two 7-0s and then them, right? So it's like, it's worse the more people who do it, and better the less people who do it. It's this weird thing. It feels like a side quest. It's like, I don't know. It feels like there's other thing, games going on inside, like, rather than the being decided on the table.
For tournament of world, of deciding world. The world championship of that season, competitive season, it should not be
in question. And like, I know, like, there are other games, systems where intentional draws are a very normal thing. And I think from what I can tell, and this is just maybe me talking out of certain places right now, but I think those are game systems that have a lot more games, right? It's like, you know, I know X-Wing, it's a bigger thing. Card games, I think it's much more common. Those are systems where you play a lot of games.
6 to 8 games in a day.
You're playing a lot of games in a day. Maybe not 6 to 8 with it like X-Wing, but yeah, okay, like card games, for sure. But like lots more games than Legion. So like maybe I can get it more there. Maybe it's more part of the culture. I don't know. Maybe it's just culture shock as we're transitioning to something new, but it hasn't been a part of Legion ever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like played a huge role this weekend, like huge role.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Don't think it should happen. Think we should just go to 2 days of Swish and then have a top 4 cut.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most ideal, but we're not. That's above our pay grade.
Yeah, above our pay grade again.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess we can kind of fast forward past day 2.
Yep.
At the end of the day, the two players who ended up 6-0 mm-hmm. actually played their game, so they respect. And the guy who lost, unfortunately, got booted down to 6th place. Despite being 6-0 up to that
which is
point,
very unfortunate,
and I feel sad for that guy.
I do,
for sure.
I really do.
Really sucks
because it's unfortunate because he could have drawn.
They could have drawn, and they probably would have both. They would have been taking a little bit of a chance because then they have to both like get SOS to get the top 4 of 6 because then there would have been 6 draws. But again, it creates this whole weird side game that I just don't like.
Yeah.
Call me old fashioned. I don't know. But respect to those players.
No, respect. I'm glad they played. Like,
And then
which was Trent and Jesse, by the way. Trent Taylor.
Yeah, we can give
Jesse.
Those are positive.
Yeah, those guys
name call outs.
Yeah, Jesse made top 4, so great job, Jesse. Yeah, all that jazz.
And Trent was the guy who knocked me out. So yeah,
so great player.
Good Trent. On him. And it was a very close
and
game.
It was well. He was CIS, not EXD. So
yeah, we'll get to that kind of.
Hats off to you there.
Right yeah.
There.
So, you know, so
yeah.
CIS made a big portion of the eventual top 4. 3 CIS lists and
let's say top 8. You had 6 CIS.
Yeah, lists. But here's the thing. Top 8 is kind of weird.
It's true.
Right? Yeah, because it's kind of like a who kept playing, like it's a weird metric because you had players who
dropped and
who
stuff.
Lost a game and dropped versus players who kept playing and then lost their last game, and It's not a perfect, it's kind of a very arbitrary cutoff. That's usually fair. We cut off to top eight because that's where a cut happens. But especially in this instance where there was no cut at top eight, I don't like it as much. But yes, there were lots of CIS.
Yeah.
And specifically lots of experimental droids. So I'd say that is the big story of the weekend. I'd heard rumblings coming in. Like there are people in Discords and chats kind of talking up experimental droids, playing around with it. And I had some experience playing against experimental droids, not with darks. Luckily, I got some experience on Sunday. I'll tell you, it's awesome because they don't have a lot of impact. And if you don't have impact going into double six-man darks,
that's great.
I am happy. but there were...
Fireworks.
Whoa. Oh, because I snapped,
you
probably.
You snapped. That were a thumbs
I
up. Anyways.
And the audio listeners will have no idea what you're talking about, but that's okay. And now I've lost my train of thought. People were talking up EXD.
EXD.
It is a good list. My experience against it was playing other things, and it can be, like, I was playing some, like, clone lists. I think my one of my palp... We talked about my palp Bossk list a while back. One of those games I played against an EXD list. And they're very funky lists, I would say. Because you look at them on paper and you're like, well, that's not that crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it all centers around that little battle force ability.
Of the three surges.
Of the three surges, which are insanely flexible.
Yes.
They can be three tokens. And hey, if you had a ability that just said, hey, every round you get three tokens of whatever you need. Like if you had a card that was like, you've got Exemplar of three wild card tokens and you have, you know, you gain at the start of every turn, gain three wild cards. And in the moment that you need that token, on a unit's activation. So, yes, you know, not quite the same, but whatever. It would be very good. That's all I'm trying to say. That kind of stuff is very good. But it does more than that. The speed three and the extra dice. The extra dice makes the sniping very, like the range game, very intense. Yep. The speed three gives it like objective, very interesting objective play. Like a lot of these lists are running bombing run. Partly because of that, but I think also because they still got good, very good command cards. Yep. So even though we're very used to seeing these very good lists have like a playmaker at the center, like your Boba Fett, your Maul, something like that. Someone who can be like a linchpin playmaker. You look at like an EXD list and you kind of think, oh, there's no playmaker there.
Who is it?
But anyone can be the playmaker when anyone can get speed three. And even though you don't have a Maul or a Boba, you still have very good command cards because the super tap command cards are really nice.
They are really nice.
The weakest one was usually, you know, always before the kind of this redhead stepchild of all the cards, like the one pip, awesome. Like it's palp light, but like still pretty good. The two pip, very good. It dodges impervious and disengage. Like, again, I think that's a big reason why they can play bombing run because you can't tie them up in melee the same way. The three pip was just like, you can get reinforcements. You can get some recovers, whatever. When you've got deflector shields and maybe O-push on some BX droids, that gets a lot better pretty quickly. So, yeah, EXD, I'd say it was a coming out party. I think a lot of people were running it as a counter to clones.
Yes.
Because clones were kind
very
of a big
good
thing.
Counter to clones.
And this is why, again, I think we talked a lot about looking for things that were off meta.
Yeah.
You know, I think, or a preference to be off meta. Which last year when I played darks, I was on meta, and I don't enjoy being on meta. Everyone has a plan for how to play against you.
Yeah.
This year, it was night and day.
Yeah.
Like there were people who are like, hey, can I read that Dark Trooper card?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, as soon as someone says that, I'm like, oh, this might be good. Right. Like this is when you're deep, you know, a few rounds into worlds and people are asking like not sure. Or they're like, yeah, I haven't played against darks in a long time. It's like,
this is good.
Yeah, these people don't have a plan.
Yeah.
If you brought clones, there are people who are practicing hard and getting ready for clones. Yeah. That's what EXD was. And then I think the other things we saw, and I didn't verify this, also friend of the podcast, Patrick, from the Discord, I think was saying like 10 of the top 11 Empire lists had Dark Troopers.
Yeah.
Armor SKUs that can still pack a punch did very well into EXD. But yes. I think, you know, speaking from my end, I wasn't necessarily like, as much as I'd like to pretend that, you know, oh, I was thinking clones, people will play EXD to beat clones, and then I'll play Dark Troopers to beat EXD.
Yeah.
I think it was more like a happy coincidence of like, well, hey, if people want to play EXD, I feel great with darks, but I also think darks are a pretty good answer to clones.
That's true.
And they're a good answer to EXD because, again, they don't have any impact. So those are kind of the big takeaways, I would say. And the eventual world's winning list kind of operates on some similar concepts, I would say. It was a what?
Double bus.
Double bus. A Fury Road list.
The rating party.
The rating party list.
Yeah.
Initially popularized of similar variant by Evan Bulris in Nova 2023.
That's right.
2022, I would say. One again, that I think that list was 10X.
Yeah.
In a 10-act world. And now all these lists was a 9-act. Oliver Dyer is the new world champ. Not give him
our friends across the pond.
I'm very happy to have a fellow European to win worlds. Not as much as if it would be a Canadian, that would have been awesome. But I think it's actually very, very nice to have
a world champion.
Like, obviously, you know, the United States is part of the world, but of course. Nice to like have world championships that are won by people from different places in the world.
I agree.
I think that's very nice. But anyways. So Ollie Dyer was playing this Mad Max Fury Road list. And again, I think he was having a lot of success against EXD and obviously had to get through that top four. He's got armor, which they're not going to have. And then he can really pack a punch with those Black Suns.
Yep.
So it's doing it a different way. Death Troopers self-contain the armor to guard them on the approach.
Yeah.
Black Sun do it through a bus and then jump out. Mm-hmm. Dark Troopers, you know, I had Boba to kind of do some playmaking and help from the sides. I think probably Ollie's version of that is the swoops.
I agree.
Right? To kind of change, give him the objective deck flex, give him some different advantages and ways to play on the battlefield. So
plus overrun really good.
Well, yes, yeah, true. New overrun.
Very good.
It did get a buff. I don't know if I'll go as far as like very good. Like, I don't know if it's world breaking, but it certainly got
it's an still improve. Really good.
But yeah, similar concepts. So anything else, I guess, as far as takeaways before we kind of talk about like, what does the kind of take in some looks into the future?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, it was a great, great community. Like,
good to see people.
We may have some things to say about the tournament and how it's structured, but man, it still is a fun tournament and still has a blast. Great, great people and community. And
there are, you know, lots of space for pickup games.
Yeah.
Which was nice. Yeah. I think more
because they left all the tables out.
Yes.
Like, did not tear any down between days or anything. So they were still like, you could find a pickup game pretty easy. And there was like a community Swiss event that popped up on Friday as well. That was really fun to be a part of. And so, yeah.
Yeah. So that was all really good. But enough of that. Now for those enterprising people who are like, oh no, everyone's going to be playing EXD now after Worlds. You know, what's the next step? What's the next step in this meta evolution?
Yes.
First, we got clones coming up kind of as a result of the points changes in May. It takes a little time. People figure out clones. Now we say people took a bit of time and figured out EXD as a good counter to clones.
Yeah.
Maybe now armor and death troopers or dark troopers is a counter to EXD. Where are we going if we want to be on the cutting edge, already thinking ahead to that store championship? Because it should be said, I believe, and now this is secondhand, I believe it was said on stream that they're looking at more of like an 18 to 24 month look ahead. They hinted at some, you know, some
for big, like a point change.
For balance patches. Yeah. They hinted to some like very big changes coming, like not necessarily imminently, but like kind of down the line. Starting to see some really big stuff. So it's very possible that we see no balance patch in early May like we did last year.
Yeah.
I think me personally coming into this weekend, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a yearly thing. Every, you know, start of the new competitive season, right after, you know, after Worlds, there's a month. And then start of May, we start the new season. We get a new points update. Boom. Yep. It seems like that might not be the case. So if we kind of assume that and we say, hey, you know, looking ahead to the start of the next competitive season, what's the landscape going to look like? What's going to have success?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a prediction.
We got.
I want to.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about some predictions. I mean, we have. Again, we'll talk about this in the future, but we still have some new units coming out, like the Commandos and the Range Troopers.
Yeah, we'll see how so, much like, they'll shake up. We'll see how
the meta, like, they'll shake up, and then
we'll see.
But man, yeah, you got armor skews.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just say it. I'm thinking. I think Ion Spiders.
Ion Spiders.
Because here's the thing, too. This is kind of partly the thought process when we're talking about how the meta evolves and shifts.
It does.
And I actually really like that. I really like when, because I come from, you know, my first love was Armada.
Yeah.
That's a game with famously slow releases. But there's still like some meta, you know, and again, maybe it's changed. I haven't really been super involved, especially in the competitive scene for years now. But it always, to me, felt like a game where it was kind of, it could still kind of morph and evolve because something would rise up and then people would kind of counter that and something else. So even without releases or balance passes all the time, this is how metas are supposed to work.
Yeah.
Someone counters the current meta, and then that becomes the new meta, and then someone counters that, and so on. But we were also talking about, like, kind of what spurs it. Balance passes can spur the new things. I think
they can.
The, you know, especially like the Yoda, the arcs, that kind of stuff, the clone lists, the clone balls. Maybe it was kind of precipitated and started with Mike at LVO 2023.
Probably.
With 501st. But I think it was really pushed further with the points changes to ARFs.
Yeah.
And that kind of kickstarts stuff. So, like, points changes do play a part in that. But also, I think with points changes, it's people are quick to be like, oh, well, what's this new thing? And this thing that just got nerfed, oh, it's worse now.
No.
But then eventually people come back and they say, wait, that thing's still good. Because we were talking about this in the context of Dark Troopers.
Dark Troopers.
I was sitting there trying to figure out a list for Worlds, and I thought, you know what seems like it could still be really good in this meta?
Dark Troopers.
Dark Troopers. I have to go down an activation, but you know what?
So is everyone else.
Dark Troopers were... Yeah. Dark Troopers could hand it to Blizzard Force back in the day, which had crazy amounts of, like, lots of impact. It's more true. Impact than most people are running right now. So why not? Why not do that? And that's what made me think, what's the next step of the meta evolution? And what's something that people tossed aside of, like, I don't want to play with you anymore. That meme. Ion Spiders.
Ion Spiders.
Now, you know, we were talking this through with, we were not droid players.
We are not.
And, you know, people complain, oh, you guys aren't droid players. Yeah. You don't know. So I wanted to see if I was crazy. And I talked to Tyler Carnes, friend of the podcast. And first of all, he said, Matt, you're so smart. That's exactly what's coming up. But he didn't say that. But no. I don't know what the exact quote is. He said something like, I like your thinking.
I like your thought process.
Yeah, he's kind of on board with that. I think there's something there, like Ion Spiders, because if people are going to be playing EXD, those droids have shields.
Yep.
And, you know, armor is, it's not full armor. That's the thing. And Tyler agrees. If it was full armor, it would be amazing. But it's still armor.
Yep.
Three, it helps blunt the attacks.
It does.
And you can burn down their shields. You can fight them at range. You take away their action efficiency. In Into Darks, you've got, you know, you're taking away their action efficiency, not quite as much because they get so many activations, but you give yourself impact. Like, is it a cure-all, like, insta-win? No.
No.
As we were talking, you know, for your bad matchups, for the matchup that I eventually got that was a pretty rough matchup, it's not like you get blown off the table. It's those are still winnable.
Yeah.
It's just... It's very narrow. Mm-hmm. It can be very tough and narrow. So is it a cure-all? Like, you instantly beat EXD, you instantly beat Darks? No, but I think there's something there.
I think there's probably definitely
something there as far as the next iteration of, like, what could you be looking at today to get a jump on? You always want to be a step ahead.
Yeah.
You want to be the person who's playing the thing that beats the current
counter meta.
Not the person who plays... the hot thing.
Yes.
For me, at least. I think we see that borne out.
Yeah.
The things that eventually win tournaments tend to be, unless it's crazy overpowered.
Yeah.
The things that win tournaments tend to be more counters to the current meta than the current meta themselves.
Yeah, and people that have a lot of experience with the list and can counter the meta really.
Exactly, often. Because they have a plan to having a plan in, you know, all the games, your toughest matchups is very important. You don't want to go into a very tough matchup and have no plan.
Exactly.
For it. So, yeah.
So, we'll see. We'll see how the meta shakes up.
Yeah, and try it. If you have success, like, let us know. Mm-hmm. If you try it and it really sucks and you say, yo, this isn't the answer, let us know politely, I guess. You know, don't say, Matt, you're an idiot. Say, Matt, you're very smart, but maybe this wasn't the right one. You know, Tyler had some critiques, you know,
but
he's got some ideas.
Here's the great thing about Legion and just, like, competitive, like a game like this, is that there's no perfect list.
Yes,
nor exactly. There will ever be a perfect list.
And piloting is always very important.
You can have someone who, take Blizzard Force, for example. Tons of people ran Blizzard Force, but like nowhere near, like the ratio of wins to losses was like drastic.
Yeah.
And piloting matters.
Yes. And I think Dark Troopers is a fantastic example of this. I'm not trying to like
bash other Dark
Troopers. Trooper players. But obviously Dark Trooper did very well, but I think that even that, a list that is viewed very much, maybe this is me trying to just, you know, make excuses for myself. It's a list that's viewed as very much just like pick up and play, very easy.
Move and shoot.
I think there is still room for piloting there. The question I asked you earlier this weekend is, how often do you think you should move your Dark Troopers back? And you, like, instinctively, you were just like, oh, never.
Or like close to never.
He said never, folks. And that's kind of true in the list, because your experiences, the lists you play, I'm never really moving Dark Troopers back. But I move Dark Troopers backwards a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honest, like, and I think there are you know, people we talked to who are like, oh, yeah, I played against Dark Troopers. And it was really easy because they shoved all their Dark Troopers. They just kept coming and they fed their Dark Troopers to me.
Yeah.
Right. And if I had done that in every, sometimes there are some games where you have to do it.
Yep.
And, you know, even in the game I lost, I fed my Dark Troopers forward, but I felt because of circumstances, that was the right call for that particular matchup. But there are other games, but even in that game, I started by moving them backwards to avoid a lying in wait turn and a Magna shot.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't moved them backwards, even in that first turn, it would have been even worse.
Yeah.
So I think there's always room for piloting, whether it's a list that we haven't seen before or it's old reliable.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, again, practice always helps with the piloting. You can never have too many reps with a list. Obviously, don't bore yourself out. Like, don't burn yourself out.
Play something you love worlds. To play, too.
And again, that's why it's important to play a list that you enjoy playing.
Yeah.
Because it does take a lot of reps and a lot of effort to, if you know, if you're trying to get to a very high level. And if it's a list you hate playing, it's very hard to get those reps and to get the like muster the energy, because it's a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many hours in preparation, you know, grinding games either in person or on TTS, like sitting in front of your computer on a Tuesday night getting a game in, or at Worlds when you're in that fourth round or whatever. It is a commitment, and the marginal gains you get from maybe having a more optimized list, quote unquote optimized list, versus having a list that you love and are passionate about and excites you to play, I think that's the latter is really what can help propel you to the next.
I agree.
If what you want to play is like complete trash, then maybe not. Like, there are some things.
We're talking to you, Brian Weebear.
He does his best.
He does.
He does his best. But there are limitations for some content. Like, look, I don't want to get too much, like, anything can win if you just believe in yourself. But more things can win than you think,
I would say. I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just wanted to end it off with probably a positive
note.
That's
true. That's like, true.
If you asked 100 people before this weekend, what's going to win Worlds? Probably some would have said EXD. I think people were asking in comp chat. I don't know if anyone said, people might have said Black Suns, but I don't know if anyone would have said Fury Road. So
Probably not, like, Black Suns with Swoops.
It definitely wouldn't have felt inevitable. It's not like there would have been 75% of people saying EXD or Black Suns, right? Or Armor Skew, right? It comes down to pilot. It comes down to luck, too. And like, there's always going to be luck.
Thankfully, the game is big enough, and, like, there's a wide variety of options that's, like, sometimes you just don't know what's going to shake out.
Yep.
You know? Like, it's just...
It's cool, and that's what makes it interesting.
It is.
Sure. So, in the spirit of experimental droids, the takeaway message is always be I was like, I don't know how long we're going. I see this battery clock clicking down. What do you got to say?
Before we get going, we just want to let the viewers know, watchers know, that this is the end of kind of like the first season, full season of competitive season that the Bombad Generals has covered.
True, because last year we kind of came in mid-season. That's all we're going to say is we might take a couple weeks. Like, we might take a few weeks off just because it is a bit weird with the cross-Atlantic time zones and the recording. And we're not legioned out, but more so it's a natural time to kind of step back and take a bit of a breath. Maybe just instead of spending time podcasting and the time that we have together, we can maybe try to get a game in instead,
exactly.
Right? And test out some Range Troopers, some Clone Commandos. And then when we talk about them, have a more solid foundation to talk about them. So it's a long way of saying you might not see podcasts for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe late not April, even until like late May. April, early May.
Something exactly. Like that.
Or maybe 2 weeks from now, we'll sit there and be like, you know what? I want to talk about some
stuff. That's true.
So don't get afraid. We're not going anywhere right now.
No, we're not.
We might just be taking a small breath just because it was just we just had a lot of Legion all at once.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's an end to a competitive season. It's a time to just like reset so that we can attack the next phase with
lots of energy. So we can start experimenting with things.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So to go back to what you were saying.
There we go.
Is stay experimenting and stay Gungan.
This has been the Bombad Generals.
Listening to Bombad Generals is not scientifically proven to make you a better Legion player. Side effects may include bad dice rolls, missed triggers, aim losses, bankruptcy, divorce, vomiting, and sudden death. Ask your doctor if Bombad Generals is right for you.